What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Arm care routines to prevent injuries. I'm not very good at this, so I've got Carrie Beth Williams. She is actually a pitching coach. She's worked with some minor league baseball, and she still does pitching coach stuff as well as athletic training. I've got Josh Ogden working with Baylor. I think he said 11 years there working with Baylor. Seventh season with Baylor Baseball. And then we got Chris Butler, who just published an ebook to help with arm care programs. And so you can go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Chris Butler ebook, and that'll take you to the link on his site. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Chris Butler ebook will take you to that there that Chris has made up. So hopefully you'll have plenty of handouts, plenty of ways to help prevent injuries from your baseball players or your throwers. And then, if need be, we can take care of it later. So, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. So, if you can't remember the link I said earlier, go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. All right, so, Carrie, you got kind of an interesting story. So, I want to kind of find out how you got to where you are right now. You're a teacher athletic trainer in West Virginia, but you said you worked as in the minor leagues or an independent league, and then also as a pitching coach. So tell me a little bit of your story.
I grew up around sports. My dad coached and was an athletic director, athletic trainer. It just kind of was natural for me to continue into sports. I spent the first 4 years of my career at the high school level. I worked as a pitching coach for the high school teams that I was working with as their athletic trainer as well. And then I got into some independent league professional baseball with the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs and Evansville Otters, and worked a lot with their pitchers, learned a lot from the pitchers from there, and also got to teach them a lot as well. And then I came back to the high school setting after that, and I've been dealing with baseball's my passion. Baseball's my favorite, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows it, but it is definitely my passion to work with the throwers.
Very good. It is. I'm a big fan of the Houston Astros, but other than that, I'm not like a big fan of baseball. So, and I would say I'm kind of a bandwagon fan, you know, because for a couple of years they weren't really worth watching, but we did anyway. So, all right. So you have come up with an arm care routine that you use for your guys. So tell us a little bit about that. Chris, Josh, I want you guys to kind of work in anytime you have comments or, you know, this is how I do this kind of thing. So just work in the conversation there. All right, go ahead, Carrie. Tell us a little bit about how you work specifically with high school throwers to prevent injuries.
I kind of made a mixture of, I took like the thrower's 10 and some things that I learned from my college days and some things that I learned from my biomechanics teacher, and then just things I picked up along the way working with the different baseball programs. And my dad and my brother are also baseball coaches and played and everything. So I've kind of taken this compilation of all of these experiences and come up with this preventative routine, mostly because in high school athletics, or at least around here, my pitchers aren't just pitchers. You know, I pull them off the mound in the third inning, and they're going to be expected to go play second base or, go play in the outfield somewhere. So there's never any rest for them necessarily. So there definitely was a need to keep their arms healthy and keep them on the field, because not only if they're injured, not only am I missing a pitcher, but I'm missing a position player somewhere too. So I kind of came up with this. I took the thrower's 10 and I kind of modified it so that we could do it on a daily basis and not take away too much time from them learning about their positions as well. But I have them at the start of every practice. They go through pretty much just 5 of the thrower's 10 exercises, and then we do the push-ups plus and the dips every day. And then if they're a pitcher, on the day after they pitch, they have to go through my entire 11-step routine, and, of course, like running and those things. And usually on the day after they pitch, they're not working on their positions either. We usually let them have that day to kind of rest and recuperate from pitching the day before.
All right, Chris, you've done some work with professional athletes. What are your thoughts there on what Carrie's gone on so far?
Sorry, were you asking me?
Yeah, I was asking Chris. I know you've done some work with some of the professional athletes. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm really kind of interested to hear, Carrie, about the recovery process. You said you had like 11 steps or something like that on the day after they pitch?
Yeah. So we take them, I go through the 90-90 internal-external rotation, then we do the side internal-external rotation, push-ups plus the PNF D2, D1 patterns, shoulder abduction with the TheraBands, TYIs with the TheraBands, and then we do some scaption and some wrist flexion, wrist extension, supination, pronation using their baseball bats, and then, of course, the tricep dips as well. So those are my 11 exercises.
I like that. I think something that we all talk about is prevention and warming up. But I think in baseball specifically, the day after they pitch is huge. And one of the things that I've really been trying to work on here as well, because, you know, baseball is kind of a slow progressing sport. We always want to do things that have always been done in the past. And I think that a lot of times pitchers finish, they do all their arm care, prehab stuff, and the day after they pitch, it's just run around, just run. You're just running today. Mm-hmm. Run, which I think is interesting. I'd love to kind of hear y'all's thoughts on this. You know, pitching is an explosive sport. It's kind of like doing 65 lighter weight clean and jerks or snatches. It's a total, just full effort movement that happens really quickly. And I think it's kind of interesting that we train them like marathon runners. And it's really weird that most runners just, or most pitchers just run a ton, do long, slow stuff where, you know, they should be doing kind of more explosive things. And in the recovery is the same thing where it's just, hey, you're just running today. You're going to be recovery day. And that's something that I've kind of been trying to work on too. I've been trying to use blood flow restriction with some of my pitchers on their recovery days. I don't know how much you guys know about BFR. Definitely, you know, being down in Texas, you might be familiar with Johnny Owens and the Owens Recovery Science. But I've been trying to get some pitchers to come in here and do recovery days. So where they're, you know, I hook them up to the BFR and they're doing some sled work and just a ton of leg work that's not going to cause them a ton of, you know, post-exercise soreness. And then with the BFR, we can get that growth hormone release coming into their body to aid in that recovery. So I think that's awesome that you have an actual regimented day after, where I think a lot of times, I think it seems like pitchers kind of get forgotten on those days afterwards. So I think that's really, sounds really cool.
Yeah, I really like that also.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the running too. I think, you know, I don't want to overrun them, but I do want them to run, you know, a little bit of like 3 or 4 poles and work those legs as well as working their arms on the day after they pitch. You know, it's an explosive sport, but it's also an endurance sport because we're, you know, we're playing for 9 innings. So they've got to have that endurance to make it into the 9th inning. So I want them to have the endurance in their shoulder and in their legs in order to, you know, continue playing and using that lower half as much. I'm a big person on the, you know, use your lower half when you're throwing. I don't want you to be an all arm guy. You definitely need to use, you know, those glutes and the abs and the quads and hamstrings, use those big muscle groups to get your power. And then your arm is just there to place the ball where it needs to go.
Yeah.
All right. So that's actually one thing that I learned when we were kind of leading up to this conversation is, believe it or not, I still thought that it was the lactic acid. I hadn't seen any of this stuff talking about that it's hydrogen ion that creates the soreness and that, you know, you always had to work out the lactic acid. And so, Josh, talk a little bit about that and then some of the stuff that you do. Because, you know, Chris mentioned blood flow, and I know you said you have it but don't really use it much there. So, Josh, why don't you take it for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something our staff was trained on the BFR system back in August, and we're slowly rolling out more and more units. Yeah, but so far I don't really have access to one dedicated to the ballpark, so that's not something I've really played around with yet at this point, but something I'm definitely interested in doing in the future. Our pitchers, the day after they throw, they're going to go, this is program driven, they're going to do 30 minutes of cardio, whether that's you know, stationary bike, elliptical, go for a jog. And again, I don't want to overdo the long distance conditioning aspect, but I agree with Kerry that there's, you know, definitely a conditioning aspect involved, especially for a starter that's going to go 6, 7, 8 innings potentially. You know, like this past weekend, our Sunday starter went 7 2/3 and full 8, just, you know, dealing. So he's got to be able to, you know, continue that. And the day after they throw, we actually structure our dedicated arm care program is a 2-day a week program. And I'll kind of get into probably later, you know, why we only do 2 days a week of dedicated arm care, but they'll come in the day after their big day of throwing and, you know, start foam roll the lats, back, hamstrings, all the way down the posterior chain, do some mobility work, especially, you know, working on the anterior shoulder with the pec minor, you know, those kind of things. And you know, everything we do strength-wise, arm care-wise, is dedicated to the posterior shoulder. And it's driven both by myself and our athletic performance coach. Thing in baseball is, you know, internal rotation driven. And I don't personally have internal rotation strengthening work as part of the arm care program. Now, post-op specific cases, absolutely. You know, just dedicated arm care, it's going to be sideline diagonal raises, Blackburns, six count, what we call six count field goals, which are essentially modified Blackburn, more posterior shoulder stuff. And we kind of approach it with the effect or with the attitude of, if you're targeting the low trap, the rhomboids, and you know, the scap stabilizers, the rotator cuff itself is going to come along for the ride.
Okay, Kerry, you said that every day they do some of these exercises. So again, you're working with high school athletes, and again, a large part of the sports medicine broadcast audience is athletic trainers working with high school athletes. So talk a little bit about how you talk to the coach, how you work that in, how you get the athletes doing the exercises correctly. Because it's for me, if I'm not standing there watching them do the exercise right outside the athletic training room, they're doing it whatever cheat way they can do it. So they'll drop the elbow when they're trying to do external rotation or whatever it is. So talk just a little bit about how you get the high school athletes to comply.
Well, we start, the bands are supposed to be set up as soon as practice begins. And as the kids are rolling onto the field, they're starting their band program. And on those days, we only do the five. We do the internal, external at 90, the internal, external at 0 degrees of abduction. And then we do the push-ups plus. So on that aspect, I've already gone through and I've taught them all how to do it. We spend usually the first week of practice where I'm on the field and I'm working with them and teaching them exactly what they need to do. And then I kind of try to teach them how to, you know, give each other the cues that they need. And we'll do, you know, they'll be up at 90 doing their internal external rotation. And I'll stop them after five and say, where do you think your arm is? Does it feel like it's in the right place? Now look at it. Is it really in the right place? And teach them how to give each other the cues as well. And they make fun of me because they, you know, they hear a lot, shoulders back, abs tight. I say that constantly to them, shoulders back, abs tight, stand up straight. And so they've learned to say that to each other now, and to really watch each other. But while I've got one group on bands, I've got the other group is doing their push-ups plus, and doing their, tricep dips. And, they're shifting back and forth between doing their band work and doing those things on the ground. And then once the whole team has finished their band work, then we go into our, like our stretching and our warm-up throwing and that those things. But yeah, when they're the biggest thing that I think helps as far as them being able to cue themselves, I'll have them put their hand on each other's back between the shoulder blades and see if they are pinching, so they can feel it that way, see if they're pinching their shoulders back. And then I use their glove. I make them hold their glove between their elbow and their side whenever they're doing that internal external rotation on their side, because nobody wants to drop their glove, so they're going to really be pinching that there, because otherwise, you know, they get that, they start doing that winging and they, you know, they're doing this motion instead of holding and really doing that full shoulder rotation. So I make them hold their glove there or a towel or something, and then they like to walk up and down the line and smack each other in the stomach and see if their abs are tight. So, I mean, it's kind of fun, but they are getting the work done. And they know that if I walk down the field and I see them doing it wrong, you know, they're going to get reprimanded and they don't like that. I'm going to make them start from scratch. They're going to start all over again, and they might miss part of whatever part of practice they want to do the most. You know, they're going to have to do bands instead.
Josh, in your notes here, you wrote that you try to explain to them, you know, look, I'd rather you guys come in here and work for 30, 40, 60 minutes on prevention than us having to go have to do surgery, and then you're out for weeks, and then we're doing surgery for hours a day. I mean, rehab for hours a day. So, and you also mentioned that one of the best things is when you have the upperclassmen keeping the younger guys accountable. So you kind of train them year after year after year. And like Carrie was saying, they're keeping each other accountable, but talk some about how you have that going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a culture building is a long-term process. But the beautiful thing, you know, in my setting is I've got a group of juniors and seniors that have done this program and I've worked with their entire career at this point. And they'll drag the freshmen in and coach them up. And just like Carrie said, it's abs tight, shoulders back and down. And we also focus on breathing while we're doing it. And typically I'll show the freshmen once. And then after that, it's, you know, the seniors are, yo, dog, why aren't you getting the arm period? You trying to be hurt? And they'll drag the freshmen in and coach them up on the things I've coached them on the past few years. Teach the freshmen once, and then after that, you know, typically it's the seniors and returning guys that recognize the value in it, and they're going to continue to bring those guys in. In fact, I guess about 6 months ago, we opened a pitching lab facility on our first base side with high-speed video and rap soda and that kind of thing.
All right, Josh, you're breaking up a good bit. I don't know if you can try unplugging or plugging the mic back in, Josh, but it's pretty difficult to understand here. So, all right.
Is that better?
So as Josh is kind of working on his audio there, he's had some technical difficulties. We're going to continue. Chris, tell me a little bit more about the ebook and why you chose those exercises to put into your first ebook as part of your arm care program.
All right, so that ebook is kind of it was a little bit of an experiment, just to kind of see, you know, can I even do it, you know, write an ebook? But those exercises are, it's not a comprehensive compilation of exercises. It's exercises that I use a lot, and the ebook, I wanted to put that out there to kind of draw people into the program that I've got going here in the clinic. So, just for a little background on myself, I'm a physical therapist. So I'm dealing more with kids that are doing rehab. And a few years ago, I was seeing enough pitchers coming in here and talking to them enough and talking to their parents enough, and seeing kind of all of the stuff that was going on in the higher level baseball, you know, people getting injured and having a lot more Tommy John surgeries. And what I think is going on and what it seems like, you know, from the research is going on is that it's not a problem at the collegiate level. It's not a problem at the minor league level or the professional level. The problem is happening in their adolescent age and high school years, to where these kids are playing on multiple teams, pitching on multiple teams, or they're playing pitcher and catcher. And there's not enough care. A lot of high schools aren't lucky enough to have a really skilled athletic trainer to kind of put together arm care programs. And these kids are pitching in showcases and playing summer ball, and there's not really enough rest or even other sports that they're playing. And when they're getting into the minor league level, their arms are maybe a little bit more worn down than players were back in maybe in the 80s and the 70s. And so what I wanted to try and do is put together a program that I could have healthy kids come in and see me. And what I set up is I like to have them come and see me 4 times a year. So I get a preseason, an in-season, a postseason, and an off-season checkup with them. And I ask them questions specific about their participation level. You know, how much are they pitching? Are they pitching with pain? Are they fatigued when they're pitching? You know, how many innings are they pitching? Are they pitching on multiple teams? All those kinds of questions. Pretty, you know, I took a lot of the questions from the Pitch Smart campaign. And I talked to them about the dangers of pitching too much and pitching while you're fatigued and not taking care of their arm. And so what I do is I run through basically a physical therapy evaluation, to where I'm going to measure all of their, you know, arm, passive and active range of motion, joint mobility, stability, what do they look like on their hands, and then a general overall flexibility kind of assessment. And then what do they look like in just like a general movement screen? How do they move? And what I build for them is like a comprehensive arm care and athletic building routine. So, you know, there's has all the arm care exercises, all of the ones that, I mean, I don't really have anything super fancy that I've made up, but, you know, all the basics. And then what I try to do is integrate the rest of the body into the scapula and the rotator cuff and that kind of thing. Because I think something that, I'm noticing with the kids that I see that get injured, they're really good. I don't want to quite say athletes, but they're really good baseball players or really good soccer players. And I think what we're losing now is that athleticism. Some of these kids now, they just play soccer or they just play baseball, and they can do all of the really high level skill work. But when you break it down, their squats and their lunges and their typical things that they should be able to do, they're not doing as well because they're spending so much time on sports specific stuff. And then, you know, the general building blocks of movement have been lost because PE is, there's much less PE nowadays. And there's much more emphasis on be a really good pitcher or be really good at soccer or whatever sport it is. So I try to develop overall athleticism so that they can get a break from just the constant repetition of if you're a right-handed thrower and a right-handed swinger, you're always going to your left. So try to get more overall well-rounded stuff. And then, you know, the ebook, like I said, I'm planning on writing a much bigger ebook. This was an ebook that had 6 exercises that I like to use to help kids tolerate the slowing down or the deceleration of the pitching motion. And so I like these ones because, you know, it gets the whole body involved and you're getting the glutes and the hamstrings and the foot and the hip, core and the shoulder and scapula all kind of moving together and controlling that through 3 planes of motion up against gravity. So that's a big thing that I really try to focus is get them on their feet, get them moving in 3 planes and, you know, get the whole body working together.
That's actually one of the things that I've most incorporated from some of our conversations with Josh and Mike. And they were talking about, you know, if it's a knee problem, then you need to work the whole, the ankle, the calf, the quad, the hip, everything. You need to work all of that. And so I was just teaching my sports medicine kids our ankle rehab, and that incorporates, you know, squats and lunges and push-ups and dead bugs and rows and everything, because we're working the whole entire body and not just moving the ankle in 4 directions and then doing calf raises and sending them on their way. So, Josh, are you back with me?
I think so. Can you hear me a little better?
I think it sounds better. So, Chris was talking about he does the full PT evaluation. That's one of the things that you said that you like to do as well, is making sure you're doing the evaluation beforehand and identify those things that most likely to need work. So, talk to me a little bit about, again, what you do to prevent injury.
Yeah, Chris, I love what you said about moving in 3 dimensions and against the effects of gravity. I think, you know, that's something we absolutely have to consider. Of my athletes, when they arrive to campus or when they arrive back from summer ball, and also pitchers and catchers at least 2 more times during the year, almost finding that's where I go into the rehab programs.
All right, Josh, I think we're losing you again there. So, all right, Kerry, let's go back to a little bit more. We mentioned running after the pitcher's running after they pitch, and you said they have to do the whole 11 exercises as well as run just a little bit. So talk to me a little bit about that process, and then also I want to see what you do if somebody comes in saying, "Hey, my arm is sore." Okay, so talk about what do they do afterwards, and then what do you do when they do come in?
So after a kid comes off the mound and has finished the game, because like I said, when my kids come off the mound, most of the time they're, you know, going to second base or they're going to outfield or somewhere else. But once they are finished for the day, they're expected to run, you know, 3-4 poles maybe, not an excessive amount or anything, and then go through the one set of all 11 exercises of that modified thrower's 10 that I've put together. I expect them to do that before they go home at night. Then, you know, if they come in the next day, they say their arm's sore, we look at where is your arm sore? You know, I'm always very cautious about that UCL issue. If we've got that pain in the flexor pronator group, we got that medial pain, you know, those are red flags for me, and I really pay very close attention to those things. But if we've got the, you know, the soreness up in the shoulder or in the back, a lot of times, I personally really like to do massage. I feel like I can really feel where the tensions are and work them out, you know, myself. But, it, you know, if I don't have time to spend doing that massage, working out those really tense spots, then I'll put them on a stem. But honestly, with my pro guys, the day after they pitched, they always came in and we did a massage the day after they pitched. We did a deep tissue massage. And I'd like to be able to do that with my high school kids. It's just a matter of, you know, between baseball and softball and track and tennis, do I have enough time to get those kids in and really work on them? Or do I need to just hook them up to the stem, let the stem do some of the work, and then give them a good stretch at the end? But, you know, if I have that pain in that flexor pronator mass, I definitely am going to do some massage there, see if I can get rid of that that tension, if it goes away, or is it truly an injury that we need to keep working on. I'm not sending them out to the field as long as they have any kind of pain in that medial portion or that flexor pronator mass. I'm not letting them throw until I'm, you know, 100% sure that that's not going to be an issue. And so, yeah, they do another set of the 11 exercises that I gave them that the day after they pitched, assuming that we're not playing another game that day. And then they do some pulls and things. But most of it's going to be, we're going to be focusing on stretching. We're going to be focusing on doing the band work. We may even go through, I may take them down and put them on the mound and have them go through their perfect pitches, making them, I don't put a ball in their hand, but making them go through the motion of a perfect pitch, and fixing, you know, things that I might have seen while they were on the mound the night before. You know, they weren't striding out enough. They weren't pushing off. They weren't pushing off of the rubber enough. They were, you know, all arm instead of using their legs. And we talk about those things. Even when they come off the mound between innings, we'll talk about, you know, you weren't really using your lower half. What's going on? Do you have some pain somewhere? You know, and we make adjustments between every inning if we can, just to make sure that they're not losing their mechanics. The first time that I see them start to use poor mechanics, I start getting concerned, and we start having to have those conversations of, is this something that we can fix before the next inning starts? Or is this something that you're not going to finish this game and you need to come off the mound until we can fix it, until we do have time to fix it? But I do a lot with pitchers, and but with any of my kids, if they come in saying their arm's sore, if it's a bicep, if it's the back, you know, we're going to massage it out. We're going to stretch them, and we're going to send them back out to the field and let them work. But again, if it's that medial pain, they're staying in my training room until I can figure out why they're having that pain and how we're going to fix it.
All right, Chris, what are some of the things that you really cue your younger athletes on as they're coming in and seeing you?
Well, the main thing that I really try to work on, especially if it's someone who's coming in and they are healthy and we're doing kind of, you know, more of a healthy arms kind of prevention program, I'm just trying to really check in with what are they feeling, how do they warm up, do they have difficulty warming up, and you know, how are they feeling the day afterwards. But you know, I think, you know, the cues as far as the exercises go, you're always trying to get, especially young kids, in the best position possible and make them kind of understand that, because, you know, working when you work with 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, especially boys, you know, they kind of grow a little bit later than the girls. They have a hell of a time trying to hinge from the hip. They get this weird bend in their spine when they kind of go into a lunge and reach or a squat. And so that's a major part, you know, that along with kind of what Kerry was talking about is just kind of pulling the shoulders back and keeping the core tight. You know, a lot of these 13, 14-year-old kids, they have no clue about their core. You put them onto their hands and feet in a push-up position, you can see all kinds of weird stuff to where they're avoiding using the core to hold them up. So that's a huge part with the population that I see is having them be able to flex from the hip and get into solid lunge positions to where they're not overly anteriorly tilting their hips, or when they're on their hands in a push-up position, can they even get up into that push-up plus? You know, a lot of times you just see them hanging out, just scaps back, and their hips are kind of sagging down, and it's a miracle they're even holding themselves up. I don't know what's holding them up, but it's not the right muscles, that's for sure. So that's kind of what I really try to focus on is getting them activating those muscles around the hips and shoulders and all that you know, diagonal patterns in between, so that they can, you know, move correctly in general, for sure.
All right, so we have the links to Carrie's and Josh's, some of his exercises here. Again, it's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. All right, so we've talked a lot about the things that Carrie does, some of the cues. Honestly, for me, I'd be intimidated going out there and watching and saying, do your perfect pitch. However, with time, or even using, you know, like we've talked about before, the technology, the Coach's Eye app, or having the coach sit with you and say, hey, what do you see them doing wrong? Or having another player, maybe that one that's a little bit better, watch and say, hey, what do you see that he's doing wrong? There's another option there if that's an area that you're not very strong at, like I feel that I would not be very strong at. All right, I'm going to jump back to Chris one last time. Chris has got to go. He's out in California at Cats PT. Chris, final parting thoughts about arm care programs for throwers before you got to go take care of these patients.
I mean, as long as you're doing something, as long as there's something that you're doing, even whether it's the throwers 10 or something that I put up on any of my stuff or anything you've seen from Reinhold or Alan Jaeger or you know anything that whatever Joshua and Carrie have been talking about, all of this stuff sounds great. As long as you are taking the appropriate time off per year and actually not throwing a baseball for a few months, you can still be doing some workouts and some baseball stuff, but you know, as long as you're getting some recovery time, as long as you're working on the posterior cuff and the overall kind of thoracic mobility and core stability, as long as you have something going and it's not just constant throwing, and you have, especially if you have somebody who's your advocate, someone like an athletic trainer or a PT or a strength coach that can kind of be an advocate for you and be the kind of in between the player, the parent, and the coaches, I think that's what's key. Because sometimes kids want to play. And if you say, hey, I want you to pitch on this team and on another one, I remember when I was a kid, I just wanted to keep playing. So I think the stuff that you're doing, Carrie, sounds awesome. The fact that you're involved with so many different age groups is incredible. And Josh, definitely, Baylor's an outstanding university, and it sounds like you've got an awesome situation going down there with your guys. So anything, as long as if you're a ball player, seek out somebody in your area who can kind of guide you at least a little bit as far as how to take care of your arm, because that's our biggest problem now, is we're losing out on some really good and special arms because it's just too much and they're not getting taken care of. And so that's what I would recommend to any young player. Seek out an ATC or a PT or a strength coach or anyone who understands movement really well and can program something for you to kind of keep your arm as healthy as possible all the way throughout the season.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate you jumping on here with us. If you want to get a hold of Chris, he's most likely to be on Instagram. So you can look at Chris Butler Sports PT, search him up there and you'll find him there. He does lots of good posts. Again, that's where you can download his ebook about arm care. Again, I have a link to it in my show notes here. But Chris, thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy, Carrie, Joshua. Nice to be on the show with you guys. Appreciate it.
One of the things I love about having Josh on here is he likes to type in notes, and that makes it so much easier because I don't have to type in anything. So he's got lots of really good stuff in the notes. In case, you know, the audio was bad or something like that, then you can check out the show notes. Carrie's typed a lot in there. Josh typed a lot in there. They've both put their pitching or their arm care programs in there. So you got a lot to take away from the show notes. Carrie, anything else you feel like we need to cover as we're talking about arm care programs?
I mean, like Chris was saying, I really agree that, you know, you do need to have that off season. I'm a big proponent of, you know, the three sport athlete. I want my athletes to play different sports. I don't think that you should be, you know, throwing a baseball 12 months a year. And even my professional guys, we would talk about, you know, when our season ended in September, they were taking October, November, December off, and then coming back to baseball in January. You know, they were gonna either, you know, just focus on weight training for those 3 months, or they were gonna go, you know, play pickup basketball somewhere or do something else, but they were not gonna throw for those 3 months until January and give their arms a rest and focus on some other aspects of their body. And I really think, especially in our youth athletes, even like down to Little League, the younger they are, the more that I think that they need to be involved in something other than baseball, and really get that well-rounded athleticism. You know, if you only focus on baseball, you're only focusing on those muscles and you're setting yourself up for injury and failure in the future. But if we can teach them other skills and give them other ways to stay in shape and stay healthy, that's not putting so much stress on their arms, especially when they're young. I'm all for that. I'm all for playing multiple sports and learning different ways to do things.
All right, so John Harmon, listening live, he said that they just bought a bunch of like rice buckets and hammers. So I think that's where you put the hammer at the bottom and you got to reach down there and grab it out or something like that. I know I've heard of that before. So some of the grip strength stuff, I assume that's what he's talking about. Josh is a super smart guy, and I know that we're having issues with the audio. He's actually sitting in the press box. And so, Josh, I appreciate you sticking with me to working through all the issues and, again, just sharing your knowledge, because I think you got a lot of knowledge and skill that you can share with some of us who aren't as focused on one specific sport.
I appreciate having me on, and I sincerely apologize for the...
I think we pretty much covered everything, but, you know, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to contact me. I love talking about baseball. I'll probably talk more than you want to know. So if you have any questions, please reach out, and I'm more than happy to help you. But, yeah, I do. I like to work both on the end of a pitching coach, and I like to work as the athletic trainer. And so I've got a kind of a unique viewpoint, and I love to talk about it. So never hesitate to ask.
All right, Kay, what's the best way for somebody to reach out and get hold of you?
Honestly, email me. It's carrie.williams@k12.wv.us. Send me an email, or you can try to send me a text. I don't always get phone calls for whatever reason. I don't have phone service at the school, but if you send me an email, you know, I'll send you my phone number and I'll text to you all day long if you'd like.
All right, well, there you go. So you can contact Josh Man Bear Frog on Twitter, Instagram, that kind of thing. So it's Man because he's a man, Bear because it's Baylor Bears, and Frog because he was at TCU, the Horned Frogs. So Man Bear Frog is Josh. Chris Butler is C Butler Sports BT on Instagram. And then Carrie, Carrie.Williams@k12.wv.us, which is West Virginia. And then, again, if you want to get Chris's book, it's in the show notes. If you want to get Carrie's program, it's in the show notes. If you want to get some of the stuff that Josh typed in, or a picture, or the assessment, the upper body assessment form, then that's again in the show notes. And Josh is going to put some of the exercises in there too. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. Recently, I was on MedBridge, doing some shoulder evaluation CEU work. So again, if you want to do a little bit more of that work there on your own, be able to stop it, MedBridge is a really good resource. If you use the promo code THESMB, it'll save you some money. It'll help out the podcast. So if you're going to use MedBridge to get your CEUs, you might as well save money and help out the podcast. So using the code THESMB will get you a good deal there. So if you have questions, contact me, email me, and then I can put you in touch with Josh, Chris, or Carrie. And again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/armcare. For Jeremy, Chris Butler, Josh Ogden, Carrie Williams, that is a wrap.